Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It's time for Under the Radar Podcast, the world's greatest Under the Radar Podcast ever, correct?
It is. Okay. And at this very moment, the officials are at the table, Chad. Right now, there's a replay going
on. There is
on.
A replay. Okay, wait. So let's go to our own replay.
Yeah, let's go to our own replay.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our Under the Radar Pod. No, never mind. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, John Stalica, and David Griggs with me tonight. This is Under the Radar, and for those of you that have never seen Under the Radar before, where the hell have you been?
I know. That's what I want to know. Where the hell have you been?
John, can you tell everybody, though, what Under the Radar means?
We'll be happy to give you an introduction. Under the Radar is a collection of 22 conferences that traditionally get one bid and just the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So this is not going to include multi-bid conferences like the Power Five or conferences like the Big East, the American, the Atlantic 10, the West Coast Conference, or the Mountain West sponsored by ConExpo, ConAg, whatever it is. And then the second qualifier is you cannot be in the top 25 in any of the major polls.
Yeah. That is correct. You cannot be in the top 25. You cannot be and how many of those have we had so far this season, David?
Zero. I think the highest anyone got was Evansville got up to 30.
Yeah.
Did Liberty get – Liberty may have been gotten
away. No, they did not.
They did not. And, in fact, as we sit here right now, we're in early in January. The coaches' poll, at least, is not a single one of these under-the-radar 22 conferences getting a single vote even in the coaches' poll. So
just kind of ridiculous.
Not looking very good for, for any of that happening here. But I guess what we do here on the show is we like to start off with a feature conference every night, correct?
Yeah, and we don't know what it is. Only Chad knows what it
is. It's the mystery conference.
Yes.
Okay, I'm actually having a slight technical problem, which is why I'm trying to stall here. So, David, talk about something.
Well, yeah, it's just a great show so far. We started off with a replay. Chad can't get his computer working.
Did you say replay?
Yes.
All right, it's time for some replay.
All right, yeah. Oh, there it is. Yes. Okay. We got replay.
All right.
Couldn't they pick a better game than the Pac-12 to watch, though?
Is that what they're watching? Yeah, it is a Pac-12 game. That's good eyes there, John. Like, I'm we like to do a feature conference, though, for real here. And let's actually go to it. I want to do a conference that I think we've kind of haven't spoken enough about this year. And it's a conference that always has some competitive teams. I think it's going to be a real interesting conference as we go forward here. I want to talk a little Colonial tonight.
Ooh, the Colonial, yeah.
It's going to be an interesting week ahead for them also. It's another reason why I want to focus on them. But we've got at least four, maybe five teams here that are fascinating as we get into conference play, starting at the top with that Charleston team who's out to the 4-0 start, David.
Yeah, Charleston as a program has probably been one of the best, if not the best, in this conference over the last 3 or 4 years. Earl Grant done a fantastic job. Fortunately for College of Charleston, he's still there. They did sort of limp out of the gate this year, but they, they won four in a row, albeit not against really the top of the league, but still off to, they seem to be playing a lot better now than they had at any point in the season. And it looks like he's doing it again, despite a little bit of rebuilding there.
I got to say, beyond Charleston, though, and John, I was not expecting anything out of Bill and Mary this season. They had a solid non-conference. Then this past week, they pick up two solid road wins. One of them was home, the Elon game, but the solid at Northeastern, at Hofstra, William and Mary.
Yeah, they blasted Hofstra. Oh, go ahead. You were talking to John.
Not only two road wins, but against two teams that had been undefeated themselves in conference play here. So William and Mary now, even though they're half a game behind Charleston, they're actually close to the catbird seed, at least as far as getting the number one or even the number two seed in the conference here.
Yeah, and the great ability to wear white in the – tournament, and that's it being played.
That's it. Yeah, that's one of the things. This is sort of a storied conference. Before the days of realignment, it had George Mason in it. BCU was in it. Old Dominion. Those were teams that were regularly inside the bubble. But it's kind of fun to see it hopefully resurging a little bit and getting back to maybe not as strong as it was, but stronger than what it's been.
I still think Hofstra's dangerous. I think Northeastern's dangerous. I still think Delaware is a dangerous team here. James Madison, has been a lot better than they did. Had some really awful years. They're getting a lot better. So there's a lot here to be excited about for this as we go through conference play. I think we're going to have a fascinating conference season and could have a crazy conference tournament here.
Well, yeah. Delaware is a dangerous team, but by the same token, they did have a little bit of a padded record, at least in November and early December, before that got corrected a little bit.
And I want to take a look here at the upcoming games this week in the Colonial. I mentioned there's some really fascinating games here, starting with we've got on Thursday night, we've got Hofstra and Northeastern, the two teams that William & Mary just beat. And then Saturday, David, circle this one, College of Charleston at Bill & Mary.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. And again, that's going to have first place implications.
Oh, it's going to decide first place.
Well, yeah, currently.
Unless Charleston loses out.
I meant long term. Shut up, Chad.
Yeah, Charleston and William & Mary are playing the worst two teams in the conference on Thursday night, so they should both be undefeated going in. John, who's going to win this league at the end of the day? Come on, I want a prediction right here.
At the end of the day, I'm probably going to go with William & Mary to finally get into the NCAA tournament for the first time.
Yeah, there are four teams left in D1 that have been members of D1 since its inception and never made an NCAA tournament. Army, the Citadel, St. Francis Brooklyn, and Bill & Mary.
Yes, there is a bit of an asterisk to that, Chad. Army made an NCAA tournament. They just chose not to play in it.
Well, they qualified for it, and Bob Knight said, I'm not going to play in your stupid tournament. I'd rather play in the NIT. And it was probably the right choice back then. Long story. You know. We could do a whole couple hours on that. But
yeah.
Let's go back to the rest of the conferences and go through them in alphabetical order like we like to do and start things off in the America East, where we saw a huge upset tonight before we started the show. John, Stony Brook goes to Vermont and wins.
I don't know if we can necessarily call that an upset. I mean, we did have greater expectations for Vermont going into the season. This was a team that had started the year winning at places like St. Bonaventure, Bucknell, and St. John's, but they kind of regressed a little bit in December and January. But so far, they have not been able to flip the switch on. And Stony Brook, they did have a tough loss against Hofstra back in December, losing the battle for Long Island. But now that they're off to a 2-0 start, it's going to be hard to catch them.
Yeah, David, they've won the two toughest road games, the trip to Vermont and the trip to Maine.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's two tough road games, and they won one of them. So you know, there you go there. But I kind of agree with John. I was really, really big on this Vermont team coming into the year, and they still could kick it into gear, but they haven't really yet. So it isn't that surprising that – Stony Brook beat them.
But there's a lot to play for in this conference, too, because Campus Sites is the conference tournament. So you finish as the second or third seed, you're going to have to win on the road to win the auto bid.
There's a big difference between 2 and 3 because it's, you know, hosting a semifinal game.
Exactly. You also have to be impressed with Stony Brook's, consistency, because they've actually gone through 3 head coaches, and I want to say the past 6 seasons now, from Steve Peichel to – Jeff Bowles to now Geno Ford in his first season.
Yeah, whatever happened to Peichel?
I don't know. He's somewhere. I think I heard of his name the other day as a Rutgers alumni. I think I heard of him once. Stony Brook hosting New Hampshire this week and then another road trip to Hartford. So 3 of their first 4 conference games will be on the road. They pick up these 2 wins and they could be in control of the conference the rest of the way here.
Yep.
Let's roll things right along, David, over to the Atlantic Sun Conference, where Liberty lost the game to LSU a couple weeks ago, and are they going to lose again?
I don't think so. No. They're just way they are pretty good. They're probably top 50 good, maybe top 40 good, but no one else in the conference is top 200 good. I know North Florida's net is up there, but – everybody else is anybody else even above 250? I mean, they are so much better than the rest of this league that I just don't – like, they could have a bad game and still win by 15.
I would say North Florida and Jacksonville by a hair, but the Dolphins are going to get dragged down by the rest of the league eventually.
Yeah, I do not – I mean, they may lose a game, but it's just going to be one of those games where you look at it and go – how the heck did that happen? How the heck did Texas A&M Corpus Christi win at Stephen F. Austin?
Yeah, I mean,
those things don't happen.
You can just safely assume that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, nothing like that would ever happen. Liberty this week has North Alabama and Jacksonville at home. Should be 4-0 when we do our show next week.
Yeah.
John, over in the Big Sky Conference, I haven't figured it out yet. I guess Montana's at the top of the standings there, but nobody's standing apart from anybody at this point.
Funny thing is, it seemed like just yesterday when we were praising the Ore Diggers of Montana Tech for knocking off Montana here, but by the same token, this is a conference that's also had some parity in recent years.
I would go Montana Tech to win this conference right now if they were in it. I mean, that's where I would go, but go ahead.
I mean, for example, I'd be looking at a team like Eastern Washington, who's going to be a potential favorite. Sacramento State's off to their best D1 start. They finally get a win at home against Idaho State. But until someone is able to knock off Montana, it's probably going to be hard to pick against the Grizzlies here.
Well, you got to win road games, and Montana's the only team that won a road game this past week, David.
Because another team that kind of that might be kind of fun to watch is Southern Utah. How much they've improved as a program in the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know if they're gonna have. I don't know if they're gonna be able to go to the distance and win the league. But it's kind of fun to see them up in the standings, even if it is early.
Yeah, it is nice to see them up there. We see the upcoming schedule here. I can't say that I would. Definitely got to circle any one of these games here because I just don't know who's good and who's not at this point. Yeah. I got to give a shout out to Idaho, who we thought was going to be awful this year. Already has 3 D1 wins, including a conference win. So they have picked things up from their pathetic.
Yes, and they have cracked the top 300 of the net.
Yes, yeah, so they played 2 exhibition games and lost them both to non D1 schools. So we really thought they'd be awful. But Big South Conference. David, let me stick with you here. And in the Big South, if you look at the standings, at least Winthrop, who had the big win at St. Mary's earlier this year, is now 3-0 in conference play with their win tonight at High Point.
Yeah, fine. I mean, High Point is one of the worst teams in D1. Still, like, stringing together some wins after looking really good on that early season road trip and then, like, not at all the same after that, they really went into a slump. But I think they've kind of pulled themselves out of it. Is this 4 or 5 in a row for them? And I know it's 3-0 in conference. So, and kind of a surprise here, if there is one, is this Presby team, who I thought was worse than High Point, winning their first 2 conference games.
They won their first 2 conference games. I guess you got to give them a little bit of credit. I mean, Gardner-Webb did get the auto bid out of this league last year, and they won at Gardner-Webb tonight. But this, Saturday, but this is – Gardner-Webb lost a lot off of last year. The other game was a home game over Asheville, who is pathetically bad. So it might be more of who they've played than anything else.
But I don't think Asheville wasn't as bad as Presby.
But by the way, we do have to congratulate Winthrop for winning round 1 of the Wynwood Cup here.
Wynwood Cup.
The great Wynwood Cup. Congratulations to Winthrop for the beating Longwood of the Wynwood Cup. Upcoming schedule here, Winthrop just the one game against Gardner-Webb coming up this week. Radford hosting Campbell at a Campbell team that had a good non-conference, although they're 1-2 in conference play so far.
Yeah, and I'm starting to like Winthrop. That's initially who I liked, and now that we're in the league play, they are probably going to be at or near the top.
John, out of the Big West Conference, still no conference play. I believe it's going to be starting. Actually, we're recording this here on Wednesday evening around 9:30 p.m. I believe conference play is going to be tipping off in about half an hour. The first conference games are coming up here later tonight. But with non-conference play wrapped up, UCSB, I think, has looked like the best team. If you got to pick somebody, am I right?
Yeah, they've looked like the best team. And I want to congratulate UC Irvine for playing the only D1 game last week. I mean, I feel bad for St. Catharines, but at least they got – they're 15 minutes of fame with a pair of losses in the Big West this week.
Yeah, well, look at those names on that screen there on the loss side. It's pretty pathetic. But David, as far as the games ahead this week, as I mentioned, coming up here on Wednesday evening, we've got these couple of games here. Hawaii's on the road at Fullerton and Irvine coming up the next few days as well. Is there anything that you're circling here in these games?
Hawaii at Irvine's kind of interesting, the one that you just mentioned. Santa Barbara, they're the team that I like the most. I don't think they're going to have any trouble tonight at all. Really, in their first two games, they're not exactly starting off with a front-loaded schedule. They're taking on, you know, the Beach and Cal Poly, probably the two worst teams in the league. And how much longer is Dan Monson going to be at the Beach?
That's a good question here, because, you know, it just hasn't been any success there the last couple of years. At least,
yeah.
At least there was some level of success. And we know he does those killer schedules, but
yeah, and he's had some good teams out there, but not in the last 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. Let's go over to Conference USA. David, Louisiana Tech is out to the 2-0 start in conference play, and I know you're very high on this team.
Yeah, and they have that nice win on under their belts against Mississippi State. I don't know if that in and of itself is going to be enough. They still have a very small margin of error, but I like them pretty much better than anyone else in this league. But I do kind of like some other teams in this league. FIU, a really big surprise. Wasn't expecting much out of them at all, looking really good.
Real nice win over UTEP last Thursday night. Yeah.
So, I mean, when you look at the top of this conference, you're looking at a potential team that might get pretty close to the bubble, maybe on it, maybe in it, depending on how many win. And then when you look at the bottom, and you see some centenary candidates. So, centenary is.
Well, Middle Tennessee, Southern Miss, one D1 win each. I mean, how far has Southern Miss fallen since Kermit Davis left? Wow.
Middle Tennessee fallen.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll talk about more about this conference as we get a little later in the season about the scheduling format and how they're going to have the pod system, but a little too early.
Your thoughts real quick? I know we got to move on, but just 25, 30 seconds. What has happened to UTEP?
They've lost games. Actually, they've lost a lot of close games. Look, I mean, they lost by 2 to FIU on the road, by 3 to Florida Atlantic on the road. Close calls out there when they're in the Diamond Head even. I still think this team is going to be competitive. They've had a lot of hard luck, close losses, I think. Which is better than last year when they were just getting blown out by everybody, I think.
The
upcoming games in CUSA should be flashed up on the screen here any second. And Louisiana Tech is at San Antonio. At UTEP, who we just mentioned, maybe that's a game to circle there coming up on Saturday.
Yeah.
John, Horizon League, this is right in your backyard here.
Love the Horizon League.
And how about this Wright State team looking like they may run away with the league?
Yeah, they certainly ran away in the game against Oakland on Friday night and had to walk on eggshells a bit against the game against Detroit, where they were trailing for a good part of the second half before they ended up winning. Their travel partner, Northern Kentucky, was not so lucky and ended up losing at Detroit. But, Chad, let's go on to the screen right here. I noticed there is no longer a red bar highlighting the Detroit Mercy Titans.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's not forget to mention that.
For those of you that have been following all season, Detroit had been in red on the screen as ineligible for the postseason play. It actually, I think it became official about 2 weeks ago. We were a little bit slow catching up on things here, but we did receive confirmation that Detroit won its appeal of the APR ban, which I believe from what I had read was by half a grade, by one player or something like that. It was so close that they'd been on the ban list. They did win the appeal. They are eligible for the postseason. They're not going to be in the postseason, other than the Horizon League tournament, because the team is not that good. But Mike Davis and his son there at Detroit are going to be able to at least play in the Horizon League tournament and have that chance.
Yeah, and you do like to see that, because if just as a quick reminder, the way the APR works, it's not present. It's what you've done in the past, and it was reflective of things that happened by I think prior to any player or coach that's currently there being there. I don't know if that was part of the mitigation or not, but I am glad that the NCAA gave them the waiver.
Yes, so congrats, Detroit. Your games have a little bit more meaning the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Oakland this week is at Youngstown State here on Thursday and then at Cleveland State on Saturday. If you look at the standings, there's a second and third place team, so this should be their toughest road trip of the year. Mm-hmm. Although the game in NKU is going to be a little more difficult, I think.
Yeah.
David, over in the Ivy League, we have seen one game so far. So congrats to Princeton. It's all over. They're in.
Yeah, if you're doing bracket projections right now, I guess you're taking Princeton. But when the games do finally start in another 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe it's another month or another
week. There's a couple coming up this week. I'll put that on the screen, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Oh, so, man, they're starting
there's one this week, the second Penn-Princeton game.
Yeah, the second. So, odd scheduling there. You had commented on that earlier, but a lot of teams starting to come into their own. Brown, as we mentioned, winning the Rhode Island State Tournament. Did we ever find out if that if the Ocean State Tournament gets an auto bid? Is Brown in the NCAA tournament?
There it is. They are the Ocean State Tournament champions. So congrats to the Brown Bears.
So you got them playing real well lately. They kind of been up and down. I always thought they had potential. You have Harvard finally looking like the team that we thought that they would. It's probably too little too late. They'll need the auto bid. You got Yale playing really well. The top of this league should be a lot of fun.
I'll tell you, David, I want to put Yale up here on the left-hand side of the screen. And John, maybe I'll ask you this question. If Yale wins out until the championship game of the Ivy League, they'd have five losses overall, wins at Clemson, at UMass. They'd have a win at Harvard under their belts. They have solid metrics. Do they get any type of look, or is it just not enough there?
I think they'll get a look, but they probably could have used the win at North Carolina, especially given how the Tar Heels have suddenly slipped, including a loss tonight to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that if they'd got that win at Carolina, even though Carolina is awful team, that'd be a lot different. And also the 2-point loss at Penn State, that could bite them as well. I just want to throw this up here. On the right-hand side of the screen, I have Princeton's schedule. As we mentioned, they're playing Penn coming up on Friday night. Their next game will be 16 days away against my law school alma mater, Rutgers Camden, in fact. Let's go Scarlet Raptors. Their next D1 game won't be till January 31st, a 21-day break in January, David.
Yeah, that is – and Tytel was explaining it. I guess they're on a new academic calendar or something, but I don't – yeah, that's not a normal schedule. Yeah,
way of saying good luck on your final exams.
Well, it's not final – but if you look even like at Yale here, his games on the 17th, they've got a game in Howard, a non-conference game. They do something there, right? Nothing for Princeton at all, other than those Scarlet Raptors. Let's jump over to the the Metro Atlantic Conference, John. You want to talk a little bit about the new first place team with their resounding win resounding 19-point win over Rider. How about those Quinnipiac Bobcats?
Yeah, it was a nice win for Quinnipiac, and I think the game of the week though actually had to be it was St. Peter's getting a game winning shot at Iona, so that also puts the Peacocks at a 2-0 and a three-way tie for first and puts Iona a little further out behind the eight ball. But even with the Gaels getting off to an 0-2 start, I still wouldn't be ruling them out come MAC tournament time in Atlantic City.
Oh, they could be seventh and they'd still win the MAC tournament.
You mentioned Iona. We do have to send a shout out here to Tim Kloos, their head coach, who we've had a lot of fun with over the years. He's been having some medical issues. He's away from the team. It is not life threatening. He is hoping to be back hopefully sometime this season, but he is not with the team. And my understanding is he's still not with the team. So our best to him and his family.
It for sure. And the reason we've done a lot of that is because Iona is just simply fun to watch. You know, they're down 15, they're up 15. You don't know what's going to happen. they just play. It's entertaining. But we certainly wish him the best. But all in all, he's done a hell of a job there.
He really has. His team is at Rider on Friday night. One of the games that maybe you could circle. And Quinnipiac will be hosting Niagara and Monmouth this week.
And you also look at St. Peter's. They have to go to Siena and Fairfield. So not an easy trip.
Yeah. Right. David, the Mid-American Conference is a conference that I've really started to keep an eye on here. One of the best rivalries of this conference is the wagon wheel between Akron and Kent State, correct?
One of the best rivalries, not just in this conference, but maybe of all under the radars. I think we go back and forth between that one and Manhattan, Iona, another really big
Penn,
one.
And Penn Princeton.
Penn Princeton, yeah. But, you know, that one's pretty intense. And this year, once again, it's two of the better teams, if not the two best teams in the league. They're going to play each other twice. And when you look at those Nets and you look at those profiles and you look at the overall records and how the metrics might actually creep up if one or two or teams can sort of break away from everybody else, could one of them get to the bubble? I know that there isn't a whole lot there, but
and that's the problem is you have nothing in tier one or two for either team, and other than the games against each other, which will be January 31st and March 6th, maybe a third matchup in the conference tournament, you're not going to have the chances. So I just I mean, I like what Yale has in tier two better than what I like what these guys have in tier one and tier two.
Right? Because go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, Akron was right in there with Louisville. They kind of kept it close and made a run at the end. And Kent State, I know that that's a 20-point margin or whatever it was, but they were right in there with Ohio State all the way until the under 12, weren't they? I mean, the under 12 in the second half.
Yeah.
So and then they just sort of ran out of gas. But these are teams that are capable of playing at a high level. I just think that you're talking about West Virginia, who is better than we thought, and Louisville, who is top 10. They don't have it in them to beat a team of that caliber, but had they played more tier two teams, I bet they would have beat.
Well, and then you say, well, what are we doing playing Merrimack, North Carolina Central, correct, South Carolina, yeah, upstate, yeah, Southern, Malone, and Concord College? They both played Concord College. I mean,
yeah.
So that's the other thing you look at is, you know, why didn't you go out and play Stephen F. Austin? Why didn't you go out and play, you know,
and so the SoCon
East
team,
Tennessee State.
East Tennessee State, Furman.
Who played more than their share of D2 crap. We'll get to that here in a minute.
Yeah, but let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here in the Mid-American Conference. In terms of Akron and Kent State, to begin with, Akron will be hosting Ball State and at Northern Illinois, while Kent will be hosting Central Michigan and at Miami, Ohio. You know, I mean, and then when you kind of look at this conference, only Miami, Ohio with a losing record overall. So there's going to be there's a lot of teams here that are going to be competitive. I think those two are just a step above everybody else.
Yeah, and Miami's also coming off of a hard luck loss at Bowling Green, where they actually led the Falcons by 11 points in the first half before Bowling Green came back to win that one.
And I guess one of the things that when you look at some of these overall records, it may be tough for Akron or Kent State to run the table against everybody else here. Especially right. a lot of tough places to go to try to win on the road in this league.
Yeah.
John, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference time. We spent last week talking about FAMU and their amazing win at Iowa State. So, but what about the rest of this league as we're getting into conference play now?
Well, we did have some high hopes for a team like Coppin State, for example, but they end up losing at home to South Carolina State and Norfolk State. So they're already behind the eight ball. So Norfolk State, they're off to a 2-0 start themselves. Morgan State also gets a win at Delaware State and at home against South Carolina State. So there's your top of the MEAC at the very least.
Yeah, I'm looking at those two teams. I'm still keeping an eye on this Bethune-Cookman team here. A nice 102-point outing at Howard on Monday night.
Yeah.
They can score. Maybe they can't defend, but they can score. You know, that's kind of, you know, it's a conference that's clearly a one-bid conference.
Yeah.
Most likely on its way to Dayton to play in the first four.
Yeah, perhaps against the SWAC champion.
At least joining them there in one of those two games. But upcoming games this week, FAMU again goes 0-2 after their win at Iowa State. And they may be 0-4 next week. Who knows? just shows you what a crazy upset that was. David, Missouri Valley Conference time.
Yeah. And again, one of the teams they looked phenomenal out of conference, and that was Northern Iowa. I mean, if you watched them play, they had a big win at Colorado. We all know how good the Buffs are. They had some other games. I think they had a loss to West Virginia, but they were right in there. Then they get in the conference play. Now, they've won two of these games, but they've really had to limp to two of the wins, and then they dropped one. And we've seen this before from this team. They do phenomenally well in an exempt tournament, look really good all the way up until the start of conference play, and then just don't look the same. I know that they're winning, but they don't look the same. If you watch the Colorado game and then you watched any of these three conference games, or all of them, as the three of us probably did, they're not the same. What the hell is wrong? Should Northern Iowa just go independent?
I don't know here, but you're right. They did not look great at home against Bradley. They did not look great at home against Indiana State. They lost on the road to Illinois State. The numbers are still there. So if they turn things around suddenly, I still think that this is a team worthy of an at-large bid if they could start rolling through this conference. I just haven't seen it on the court the last few games.
Yeah, and I haven't either.
And then despite the parity, we only have one winless team, and that's a team who currently has their head coach on administrative leave.
What an up and down season for Evansville. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Has anyone ever had a more intriguing season than what Evansville is having this year?
You go at number one Kentucky, you win a non-conference game, and now you're at a point where you're 0-3 in conference. You have no head coach. We're not going to talk much about – we're not going to speculate about anything going on there with the head, with Walter McCarty, but no longer with the team, and I don't know if he'll be back or not. David, one of our favorite leagues here, truthfully, is the Northeast Conference.
The Northeast, and it's been phenomenal already. in just the first week. So
we've already seen, I think half of those games were close games. It went right down to the wire.
Yeah.
I think there was one or two blowouts. The Wagner game at Mount St. Mary's was a blowout. I think that was the only one that was not worth watching. It was
right. And what I would like to do now that they're at 11 teams is propose a 30-game format. It would require a waiver from the NCAA tournament because you're only allowed 29, but a 30-game conference format for this conference.
I would be all for that, quite honestly. Yeah. but, I mean, one of the big stories here still is this Merrimack team picked up their first conference win of all time in the Northeast with the win at Sacred
Heart. In their first ever conference game in the NEC.
Yeah. Yep. Did lose the home game to Robert Morris. Robert Morris can always be up there. They're up there again this year, but we'll see what happens. I still think SFPA may have the most talent.
That's who I like. I know, even though they lost a game.
They did lose the game on the road at Bryant by 4 points. Upcoming this week, I'm going to tell you exactly which game on this list here to circle.
Yes.
They are.
All of them.
Yeah. Just watch every single one of these games. You will be entertained, guaranteed.
Oh, it's the most entertaining conference.
Let's see here. Oh, and circle here next Wednesday, David. Battle of Brooklyn, round one.
Yes, round one. The Battle of – yeah. Another great under-the-radar rivalry. And if you don't think it is, watch it.
Yeah. This is absolutely going to be a ton of fun. Although for the first time ever in the rivalry, a team named the Sharks will be involved in the game.
Yeah, I can't say I'm a fan of that. They'll always be the Blackbirds to me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah. John, over in the OVC, conference that got an at-large bid last year. It's not going to happen this year, though.
Not by a long shot this year. I mean, Belmont, they did rebound after an inexplicable loss against SIU Edwardsville with a win at home against Eastern Illinois. But by the same token, when you're looking at teams like Austin Peay, Tennessee State, and Murray State winning their first two games along with Jacksonville State, that's going to put them a little behind the eight ball. But granted, we're also talking about a tournament in Evansville, Indiana come March.
Yeah, we're in a state with no OVC teams.
Sponsored by visitmyrtlebeach.com.
I guess, Murray State is there. Austin Peay is there. Jacksonville State trying to rebound from a bad non-conference season is there 2-0 as well.
And it was really bad, but looking at least decently good. I think both of those were on the road too. So nice job for Jack State.
Upcoming this week, we've got, let's see here, Murray State at Jack State here coming up Thursday night. That might be one to kind of circle there. Tennessee State's got a game at UT Martin and then at SEMO. So maybe they could be at 4-0 next week with a couple of road wins.
Both Murray State and Austin Peay visiting Jack State.
David, the Patriot League, we saw Colgate really struggle with Army, but come back and get the win on Monday night. They came back again tonight and totally rolled Loyola. So Colgate's starting to look good.
Yeah, they are. And, I mean, if you follow the Patriot League, it's not surprising that the best team would struggle at the on the road against the worst team. You know, this league, it always kind of leaves you scratching your head, but they did come back and get the win after trailing for – they were behind a lot more than, you know, they were ahead in that
game. The first half, they were down double digits most of the first half of that game.
Yeah.
It was not, they were not looking good Monday night. But John, we are now in a position here where this Colgate team, should they keep winning, we're going to start talking under the radar top 10 list for the Red Raiders? Or the Raiders, I'm sorry, not the Red Raiders, just the Raiders.
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility, but probably going to be their ceiling this year.
Right.
Yeah, and again, like you mentioned, campus sites. Colgate has not been one of the better teams in this conference. I'm trying to recall the last time they were ever at or near the top or in the NCAA tournament. So it's going to be fun for them playing for home court advantage, playing at home. And then I think it's just going to be a fun year for them. They're not used to this.
But I still think the more inexplicable result from the past week was a Holy Cross beating Navy at home. So the Crusaders had been a strong centenary candidate, but with their net shooting up about 20 points, that's going to put them out of the running for the time being and also knocks Navy from the first place tie here.
Right, and well, we have a minor technical difficulty here. Here we go. We're moving on to the next conference. It's going to be the Southern Conference, which is a conference we've been speaking a lot about this year. Three great teams, and we had a heck of a game this evening here Wednesday night. East Tennessee State and UNC Greensboro, one of the two of the three teams we've been talking about all season. ETSU goes into Greensboro, picks up what's a 7-point win on paper, but it was a tie game with about a minute left when UNC Greensboro head coach Wes Miller went absolutely insane following a probably a bad call and a charge. But
But still, I mean, he basically took – at that point, it was – the game was tied, and instead of having the ball, you didn't have the ball. Much better to have the ball, but it's still infinitely worse to give the other team four free throws on top of giving them the ball. Not a good way to go out. You kind of hated to see what was a pretty intense, at least hard play game on both sides kind of be decided that way, but it was what it was. But how about the Paladins 4-0?
Paladins 4-0. Now, they struggled tonight. It was on the road in Chattanooga, but they did get the win, and that's what's most important. They also picked up the big win over at home over East Tennessee State over the weekend now, so I'm liking this Furman team, most of these four now.
Yeah, I think I am too. East Tennessee State, I'm still big on them, but they just have not really shown it in conference. I know that they've played the better teams in conference, but, you know, struggling in their conference opener against a team that you would expect them to beat rather easily, only winning by a point, struggling to even get to 50 in that game. And then, having said that, they did get the big win tonight. But, yeah, I'm starting to really like this Furman team. And keep in mind, this is a team that nearly beat Auburn. I think they lost at Auburn on overtime.
Upcoming this week, Greensboro at Furman. They need this game on Saturday to stay.
Yeah.
Now with two losses already, huge week for Greensboro. They've then got to go to the Citadel. Furman will be hosting Western Carolina as well in what could potentially be a battle of a pair of undefeated teams. Surprisingly, the Catamounts there.
I don't know if it's necessary. This is not necessarily surprising considering they went through the Citadel VMI gauntlet, which is about as easy a road trip as you're going to find in this conference.
Hey, they're
very true.
They're 3-0 right now. Should Furman lose to Greensboro, they beat Western Carolina. They'll be the first. They beat Mercer. They'll be the first place team on Sunday morning.
Right. And this has been such a fun league the last two or three years, and it's going to be fun again.
Let's go to the Southland, David, in the first place Abilene Christian team, your defending tournament champions, because of the inexplicable that just happened as we started the show tonight.
That's a word that gets thrown around a lot, but this really is beyond explanation. I don't understand it. Corpus Christi, not good in any stretch of the imagination. The idea that they could go to SFA and
look
beat
at these metrics, they're in the mid-300s in all their metrics heading into this game.
Yeah. And this is an SFA team that I thought was good. If you watched them play against Duke, you certainly know how good they can be. They haven't always played at that level, but that was precisely it. They would win games even when they weren't having their best game, and that can be a sign of a really good team. This I've been hounding both of you on the little bracket projections that we do for not giving them a little more love for having such a big win. I don't want to say that this cancels out the Duke loss, but I do think that if they had one strike, that was it.
Well, and this was a bad one because it was a home on top of that. John, if you want to say somebody else is going to win this conference, Sam Houston and Nichols are both 4-1. These are a couple teams that we did like heading into the year.
Those are a couple teams that we like, but by the same token, Abilene Christian is still the defending champion here. So,
yeah, with a powerful 4-6 D1 record and 4 non-D1 games. Hey, but you're right. They are in first place. They're 3-0. They're undefeated. They're playing they're playing as we speak right now. Let me get an update on the score. They are actually, as we speak, they are in a one-point game with under 5 seconds left, and they're losing. So they may not be there anymore.
A lot of exciting Southland games tonight. I'll give them that.
And we'll try to get an update of that score here in a second, though. But David, go ahead.
I know we got to move on, but just real quick, Chad, when is the Battle of the Alamo?
The Battle of the Alamo, as you can see there, Incarnate Word, one of two D1 programs that plays in the city of San Antonio. So, of course, they're
they're going to play UTSA, aren't they?
They've been D1 now for, what, 6-7 years? Yeah. You know how many times they've played each other?
Oh, I would assume at least 6 or 7.
0.
What?
Absolute 0. Oh, yeah. Quick update, Abilene Christian, that game has gone final. They lost. They're 3-1 now also.
Good call, Stalica.
They lost to McNeese. So stop it, Stalica. You're out. They lost to McNeese State that had one, then a single D1 win heading into tonight's play. Over for that. So much for Abilene Christian, right?
Yeah.
Let's move on here before we embarrass ourselves more. Stalica, how about the SWAC? I'll give you a chance to make up for your Abilene Christian comments.
Yeah, Prairie View gets a nice win on national TV Monday against Southern at home. So now they're off to a 2-0 start, including a win against Alcorn and Grambling. They get win against both of the Alabama schools here. But again, you also got to keep an eye on Texas Southern, who did lose at home to Alcorn State somewhat inexplicably.
Yeah, Alcorn State, let's pronounce it correctly. Go ahead, David. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things that sums up the SMAC beautifully is this bracket, is this graphic here. Now, you have to look a little closely, and you see that Mississippi's Valley State, 0-13 overall, 353 in the net, is somehow not in last place. I don't know how you go about sorting that beyond the conference record, Chad.
It's sorted by conference record, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, because they're that makes
they're 0-1 Southern Alabama.
That makes sense now. But I just got a kick out of that.
Mississippi Valley, though, definitely a contender for this year's Centenary Award for the worst team in D1. Yeah. However, they're going to have their good chances for wins given what conference they do play in.
Right.
But I do like to respect the fact that Mississippi Valley State does not mess around in their games. The top tempo in the country.
Yep.
Yeah, they play an exciting, bad brand of basketball. Yeah. Grambling at Southern and at Alcorn this week. Prairie View is at Texas Southern, and I think that's their only game coming up in the next week. So
yeah, and Monday night we will be watching SWAC basketball because
that's the only thing that's going to be on.
Right.
Couple more conferences real quick here. Let's run over to this Summit League, David, where Omaha surprisingly out to a 3-0 start now with the win at North Dakota they picked up tonight.
Yeah, I wasn't big on this edition of Omaha because of all they lost last year, and not really all that exciting out of conference, but yeah, they're 3-0, kind of to keep a team on. A team that we did like a lot out of conference just continues to kind of, backpedal, and that's the South Dakota Coyotes, the Yotes. But, you kind of have to like Omaha right now, don't you, along with the Dakotas?
Well, but if you look at the net range, you look at the overall records here, you may have a 6-team battle here, maybe a 7-team battle even, because Oral Roberts' metrics are there, even if their record is not. So I don't know
about this. Like,
I don't think we're going to have a very good Summit League. I think we might be looking at a 16 seed type of Summit League.
Most likely, yeah. And this league's typically a little better than that.
Yeah, you've seen 14 seeds, even 13 seeds out of this conference. You're not going to see that this year. Upcoming week ahead here, I guess you want to look at Omaha. They're at South Dakota this week. Maybe that's a game to circle. North Dakota State's at Oral Roberts and hosting South Dakota. Such a big week for the Yotes, if you look at that.
Yeah.
But also a big week for the Jackrabbits as well, because they've padded their record up to 2-1 now, but now they have to travel to both Denver and Fort Wayne.
Yeah, Fort Wayne, I think, is a dangerous team. Not that certain about Denver.
Yeah.
John, Sun Belt time. And out of nowhere, the Little Rock Trojans 5-0 now.
With a two-game lead on everybody.
Yeah, Little Rock gets the sweep of both Texas schools, and then Monday night they also get a home win against Georgia Southern. So they've separated themselves where the rest of the conference looks like a complete mess right now. It looks more like the Big South in February.
Everybody is beating everybody, David, this year. That's all I've seen. I mean, other than what Little Rock has amazingly done, going from 5-5 overall to 10-5
yeah.
in conference play, it's mass chaos in this league.
Yeah, it kind of is, and it was a little bit like that last year where there was so much parity, but not to the degree that what we've seen, at least so far this year.
What do you got? Who's going to win this conference? I think there's 12 teams that can win the conference right now.
Yeah.
Maybe not Arlington, but I don't know. They could even bounce back here. And
right.
And
I think Little Rock started off 4-0 or 5-0, then they lost 5 in a row. Now they won 5 in a row. So
yeah, and it is a 20 game schedule here in the Sun Belt this year also. So we're gonna have a lot of games still ahead. Mm-hmm. Little Rock is at Troy this week, and then hosting South Alabama. I watch them all, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
David, last conference for the night is the Western Athletic Conference.
Yes.
With the first place ruse.
Yeah, I still think New Mexico State will run away with this. But, yeah, the ruse under Coach Billy Donlin, a friend of Stalika's, I think, from Wright State. But, off to a pretty good start. They're off to the Summit League after this year, I believe.
Yes.
And, a couple – is it one or two D2 teams that are joining the league next year?
You got Dixie State and Tarleton State both coming up to join the WAC next year.
Yeah.
But you've got Kansas City off to the Summit, and you've got Bakersfield. Off to the Big West, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah, Kansas City off to a pretty good start, at least in league play so far. I don't think they're going to be able to keep pace with New Mexico State. Avenging their only loss from a year ago at Cal Baptist, they went out there this year and won it. So,
yeah. Only game. As far as that New Mexico State team goes, their week ahead, they are going to be hosting Chicago State Thursday in a game that they should absolutely roll in. Then maybe a first place battle on Saturday against Kansas City. Maybe the under the radar game of the day, Stalika.
Maybe so.
Maybe not. Who knows? Let's go to our top 10 list. I do want to put a note here that these top 10 ballots were cast before SFA lost tonight.
Yes.
So
we might make an executive decision.
We might make a decision after we reveal these and make some changes. But let's start with the four honorable mentions, four teams that did receive votes, did not make the top 10. Wright State. We mentioned them, Harvard, Stony Brook, and Charleston.
It was Charleston.
Colonial Knights. Somebody liked them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At number 10, we have UNC Greensboro, who did have the loss tonight that held them slipped all the way down to 10.
They've lost some incredible games in incredible ways.
At number 9, we have Louisiana Tech out of Conference USA, a team that's kind of been hung in there right near the bottom of the top 10 for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
Hasn't quite moved up. We got tie for 7th place, and it's kind of funny who two teams that are tied because it is the two MAC teams.
Kent State, the wagon wheel. Yeah.
So who's better? We don't know yet. You're going to have to see how things play out here. At number 6, we've got Yale, a team that we discussed a little bit earlier about, I don't think they can get at large.
Yale is moving up, yeah.
At number 5, East Tennessee State, who bounced back from their loss to Furman with the win tonight on the road at Greensboro. At number 4 is Furman, the other SoCon team.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number 3, and this should probably really be about number 6 or 7, is Stephen F. Austin. I don't think they fall out of the top 10 with that list, but they should be docked a few spots.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would not vote them number 1 like I have been.
I should also add, I did have a contingency list that I had sent to Chad where I had them number 3 if they had won, but would have had them number 5 with the loss tonight.
I wasn't even watching the game because it was like a preseason game.
I would probably have them lower. I'd probably have them right down under Yale. I'd have them at 6th overall right now with that loss, but I think they're 5th or 6th. It should still be on the list. They lose another game, they could maybe fall right off of this. Our top 2 teams are probably no surprise which teams they are. It's just the order. We've got Northern Iowa number 2 and Liberty number 1. And I think it's been those two teams for quite a while now.
Yeah, and I can see that. Liberty's not going to lose the rest of the year.
Probably not.
Probably not.
I guess on that note, let's go ahead and pull this down here and run through each of you for any other final thoughts. Mr. Slico, would you like to start us off?
Well, I think we saw last year what the best case scenario was for the SoCon, not so much for getting multiple teams, but at least getting one team up to a number 7 seed. Looks like so far we've seen a lot more parity in that conference this year with both Greensboro and East Tennessee State losing early on, because I don't think Furman is going to stay undefeated in there for much longer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that if you think there's a chance for the SoCon getting an at-large bid, these teams just cannibalizing each other is going to kill that at the end of the day. David?
I want the bracket buster back. Like, I know that East Tennessee State, Furman, and Greensboro are all going to play each other, and Kent State and Akron will play each other, but it would be fun to see that mixed and matched, a lot more fun than some of the games that they've been scheduling against D2 teams, which more and more good under the radar teams are doing more than I think they should. It'd be fun to see Liberty and SFA, albeit who lost tonight, if not play each other, play some of the other teams that are on that top 10 list, because one of the things that you'll see in our top 10 list and that I've noticed over the years is this might not be entirely true because of with three SoCon teams, but they rarely play each other. The teams that are in the top 10.
No, other than teams of the same conference. I think we have Yale and Harvard got an honorable mention, but Harvard
and Yale. It'd be a bad week to make that example.
Yeah. Let's see who else is in the same conference here. Akron and Kent State, yeah, they're going to play each other too, David. Yeah, David, just give me a different final thought.
Okay.
Here, David, I'll tell you what. How about we go to a little more instant replay?
Oh, okay, we've got instant replay. Good deal. Oh, there we go. All right.
All right. On that note, for those of you that would like to keep watching people watch TV, just hit the pause button right below us.
Yeah, just leave it on your screen. Now, just leave it on your screen.
For those of you that want to move on with the rest of your lives, I do want to thank you all for joining us tonight. On behalf of David Griggs and John Stalica, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be recording another podcast tomorrow night. We've got a bracket rundown show, our season premiere of that. So going to be exciting. So make sure you keep an eye on the website. We'll talk to you again real soon.